This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the December 14th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Where's the weak spot in your investing right now? As is often said, you don't know what you don't know. So we're here to help fill in some of those blanks, some of those weak spots, or to help anyways, to anticipate common knowledge gaps and bring you the information you might need. Now, having sat across the table from countless people, trust me, I have, I've come to know where many people come up short in their, you know, in their understanding of principles and how to successfully invest, and where they make mistakes when they get too depressed or too happy. I hate to say that, but it's true. The extremes are the dangerous parts of individuals' investing feelings or philosophy or whatever you want to call it. The extremes are the danger. So I'm here to help you try to identify when those extremes happen and what you can do about it. Your questions are always welcome. The way we can connect right now is on this 24-hour listen line. We're live now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, but it's always on. 888-99-CHART. So let's check in right now, see if there's any questions we have.
Hi, I have a question about some of the numbers that Steve looks at right away when asked about a company. I've been trying to learn a little bit more. The one in particular I'm curious about now is debt. And how exactly you evaluate that when just sort of leaning over some of the data of a company, if you compare their debt as a percentage of their earnings or how you look at that exactly. Thank you.
Okay, debt. Debt is a very one of the most important things you can look at when you're looking at a company, because you know the amount of debt they carry is a big burden on their earnings, sales, and then their ultimate earnings, because they got to pay the debt. Somewhere they got to pay the debt, right? And so how do you figure out how much debt it is? Well, one of the best ways is to figure out how much debt to their overall market cap. If the company's worth $20 billion, do they have $20 billion in debt? And you also, and that would be very high, for instance. But maybe not if it's a financial institution that borrows money to lend money out. So it's not just how much debt, it's what industries are they carrying that debt. You know, it's just like you and your individual life. How much debt can you carry and not have a problem with it? You know, because you got plenty of income to pay off the debt, plenty of salaries coming in to pay off that debt, and your salary is growing, so you can pay off that debt. So debt is an important factor, but there is no, well, if it's this percentage, it's bad. There is no saying that. You know, for instance, if you look at auto companies, always carry lots of debt. Huge debt. It's very common for them to carry a lot of debt because they spend a lot of money building those factories. They have a lot of money in their supply chain. They're buying all those parts. You know, but if you look at a company like, you know, let's say, I don't know, Microsoft. Microsoft shouldn't have very much debt because they don't have factories. You know, high-tech companies that have been around a while and making money shouldn't have much debt at all. Then again, you got your startups, they have tons of debt. See, you can't just say, but debt is important. It's very important because you have to figure out, can they carry that debt easily? And if the answer is yes, then you move on to the next numbers that might be important. Return on equity, return on asset, margins. Are profit margins shrinking or growing? You know, sales going up or down? I mean, these are basic things that you have to keep an eye on. Okay, we see the stock market notching upward almost every day. But is that a good indication of future economic and future stock market growth? The stock market is not the best indicator of the future. It is one of them, but it's not necessarily the best one. So where do you look for signs? In reality, the bond market is probably more important, more telling Bond investors tend to be institutions that have more information than the average investor and have a greater incentive to get it right, as bond markets tend to be less liquid. Therefore, it's a mistake is much more costly to them. So, sure, all professional traders track them, major stock market indexes, we do. But most of the really good guys, the guys that know what they're doing, they know they have to keep an eye on the bond market. And you can do that through ETFs, by the way. You can do it. The best gauge on the 30-year U.S. Treasury market is the TLT. TLT. Now, if that TLT starts to go down, when do you think it's the bad thing? I mean, when is it? If the stock market has gone up all this year, shouldn't you think that the bond market has? And it really hasn't. It went up until about September and then started to weaken, and now it's trying to crawl its way back up there. Okay, so when it goes, what does that mean? What does that mean when treasuries are falling or vice versa? The junk bond market can be followed by the JNK, the ETF JNK. Well, that's a pretty good indicator of risk tolerance, because junk bonds are much more risky than treasuries, a TLT. So if you want to look at that part of the bond market, and you'll look at it, it peaked, when did that, what's that? At mid-October it peaked. Hasn't peaked back up, hasn't gone back up. So we're starting to see a little difference between the stock market and the bond market. And that's something that you might want to keep an eye on. Then there's the yield curve. I'm going to talk about the yield curve more later on in the show. Now, there is a saying, never argue with the market. But most investors think it refers to the stock market. But most professionals, by the way, think it's the bond market that you should not be arguing with. Let's look at our list of topics today. Vanguard sees a 70% chance of a correction soon. Vanguard does. They're calling for a correction. I think they're trying to prepare their clients who have invested billions of dollars in the passive index funds to try to ride out the next correction. So they're trying to do some forecasting and prevent damage. So the more people freak out on a correction, the more it will hurt them, because they'll get out of those passive investments. And the more that they're in there, the more people are in there. And as I reported earlier, the ETF indexes, instead of the mutual fund indexes, they're fully invested all the time. So the impact of getting out of your ETF is immediate versus getting out of your mutual fund index is not so much, because they always carry cash, 10% or so. They carry 5%, 10% cash, whereas an ETF does never carry cash. So when people head for the exits, what's that going to happen? So that's why Vanguard, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I have a feeling they're just trying to keep everybody watching out. Also, I want to talk about the yield curve flattening after the Fed announced this week. We'll talk about that. Retail sales, did you see the number? Man, that was surprisingly strong. And is anyone worried about the rosy outlook for everything? Everything. Everybody thinks everything is great. That kind of worries me a little bit. Now, of course, there is a rosy outlook. You can't avoid that. So don't think it's necessarily bad that they have a rosy outlook. But for everything? I don't see enough worry in that. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more. That's what we're going to discuss today. But, of course, you drive the show. Your topics drive the show. So whatever you want. The market's down today, down 77 on the Dow, down 19 on the NASDAQ, down 11 on the S&P. And that was a reversal day, because the market was up, Dow was up 100 points plus before it turned around and fell. And all the other major indexes were too, they were up. The only one that wasn't up, I remember, I was looking at the Russell 2000, it was all weak most of the day. But the three main ones, the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ, were all up decently and then turned around and fell today. Now, I normally would say, well, that's a reversal day and that's very significant. But I would only say that if the volume was there, and there was no real volume. But it was broad-based fall. 366 stocks fell on volume, where only 30 went up on volume today. So it was a pretty negative day, but it wasn't any kind of panic selling. It wasn't like, oh my God, nothing at all, not even close. It just was kind of a reversal day. See, people put a lot of importance on reversal days where the market's up in the day and then down, or market's down in the day and ends up up. But that's only important if there's a ton of volume. That's the only time it really tells you anything. And so it's not really telling us anything. I'm Steve Peasley. Now, if you were able to set aside $50 each month for retirement, how much would that end up becoming 25 years from now, including interest? If it grew at the historical stock market average, $15,000, $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, what would it be? I'll have an answer for you next. To reach me right now, call 888-99-CHART. Hi, Fernando from Pittsburgh. Didn't you call yesterday? How you doing, Fernando?
I'm doing good, Steve. I actually own about 2,800 shares of Teva, and it was a good day for us today.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy for you.
I'm calling you regarding my 401 through KKP Financial.
Okay.
And every quarter, you give me new allocations where to invest my money. And my question is that, I mean, you know how you always talk about how the market is overpriced?
Yep.
And these mutual funds, they hold Google,
right,
Amazon, which are really overvalued.
Yep.
So I decided to put my money in cash.
Okay.
All of it.
Okay.
So my question is, am I doing right if I put my money in cash, assuming, let's say, if the market gives me a return of, let's say, 10% next year? But then if it goes down 10-20%, I mean, am I better off just staying out of the market?
Well, the answer would be no. Never, ever, if you're close to retirement, Fernando, then you have to start taking less risk. But never get out completely of the market. That is wrong. Because now, if you get out completely, you're going to now try to time yourself back into the market, then time yourself back out of the market. Timing the market does not work. No one has ever been able to be successful timing the market. Well, I won't say no one, but it is extremely rare. But now that you're out, you don't want to just jump back in either. So you really want to take more of a maybe dollar cost average approach, going back in slowly, because the market could keep going up. No one knows where the top is. You're right that it's overvalued. Yeah, that's true. But you can continue to deal with value for years.
So I also own, I have a TD Ameritrade account that trade. And this individual account is where I'm trying to get some value. You know, I had another question regarding ERJ.
I'm sorry, but I'm really up against a break right now. But, you know, if you want to hold on, I'll take it after the break. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. So how much money should you have set aside for emergencies? Most advice you hear says about 6 months. Do you have that much set aside? 888-99-CHART. Love to talk to you. Give me a call. Vanguard says 70% chance of a correction erasing 2017 returns. Now, as I said at the opening, it might be just Vanguard trying to prepare its clients for not to panic out of all the mutual fund index funds that they have, because they poured, you know, billions of dollars into Vanguard's index funds. So they're trying to prevent people selling out. And, you know, to a large extent, when the market corrects, you should ignore it. Because you cannot time the market. What if they're wrong? What if it doesn't correct? Remember, they said 70%. That means at 30%, there won't be one. What if they're wrong? Often the experts are wrong. Often. Now, what is the corrections? 10%. That's a normal correction of 10%. Well, if the market goes down for 10%, your funds go down 10%. The long-term average up for the market is what? 8 to 12%, somewhere in there. So why are you worrying about it? If you have 1 year where you go down 10%, that's pretty common. In fact, since 1960, 40% of the years, the market has been down 10% in those years. 60% they're up. We just haven't seen it. So no one's used to it. That's what the danger is. No one's used to the volatility that is normal, at least normal prior to 2008, during, you know, the 2009 when the market started to recover from the 2008 recession. And there have been lots of warnings by lots of experts saying you need to expect less performance going forward. Less performance, less. Maybe 4 to 6% returns, you know. And the reason they're doing that is because they want to. That it's a reversion to the mean. They need to have less. Either it's got to really have a bear market, which would be 20% fall or more, or it has to have much less growth going forward for a few years to revert to the mean, the average. When people start saying, well, now we're in a different paradigm, different way of doing business, that means you know that something's wrong because it's never different. It's always the same. You know, as far as broad market trends, they're always the same. So, you know, we're not looking at, oh, the stock market's not going to go up, you know, 15% a year for a number of years. No, that's not going to happen. It's not. So in 2017, I expect a less robust market than this year. So, and I think you should too. You should too. That doesn't mean you panic out. You stay with the market. You know, it's very rare to have a bear market without a recession. And there's not going to be a recession in 2018. Not happening. The only way it's going to happen is something dramatic in the world has to happen. Like a war. You know, like a nuclear exchange of missiles with North Korea. Something dramatic has to happen. Then you could have a bear market, and, you know, maybe a recession possible, but you know that's what the type of thing that has to happen. But I do think that you know the odds, which is what Vanguard is saying, the odds of a 10% correction are very high, and yeah, they are, but they're always very high. They're always high. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. How you doing, BJ?
I'm good. Thanks, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Can you give me your opinion about NSC, Norfolk Southern Railway?
Okay, NSC. Is that the one that Warren Buffett bought a few years back?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is a kind of a Warren Buffett-type stock. Operates through Norfolk Southern Railway, 19,500 miles of railways through 22 different states. And the reason why he bought it was its consistency. It's consistently making money. It's consistently growing its money. It's going to make $7.11 next year. $7.11. It pays a 1.7% dividend. Sales have increased the last three quarters, 6-7% per quarter. Before that, they're falling, you know, 5-7% per quarter. They do very well when oil prices go up. I don't know if you know that, BJ, but they do because they move cargo across country much cheaper than trucks. Well, trucks are starting to start competing, especially if they're self-driving trucks and they don't have to pay the truck drivers. But it's got really good, solid numbers. The only problem you have is it's gone up pretty strong this year. And therefore, its P is around 22, and when its five-year range is 11 to 23, so it's right near its high of the PE range of the last 5 years. That's the only danger I see, but Warren Buffett won't be selling. He'll just hold on to it. You know that, right?
And economic condition currently, Is there any indication that it will continue to stay strong like this?
It probably will stay strong. Its earnings are growing, the sales are growing, and with a strong economy, I think they'll probably continue to grow. It's just stock. Okay. The stock is just expensive. That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks, okay, thanks, BJ. I appreciate the call. Coming up next on Invest Talk, when you buy a car, you want to look at more than just the name. You want to understand how the engine works. It's the same with ETFs. Rethinking ETFs. That's one of our talking points on next Invest Talk. But what's your topic today? What do you want to talk about now? 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. You've probably been hearing a little bit about the fiduciary laws. They've been postponed. That is the expansion of the fiduciary laws. But registered investment advisors are bound by these laws from the Security and Exchange Commission. That hasn't changed. Historically, this has been the code of the registered investment advisor. A fiduciary is required to act in the best interest of their clients. Those not bound by the definition of fiduciary are only required to make decisions for their client that are appropriate, but not necessarily in their very best interest. If you have questions about the role of a fiduciary or a registered investment advisor, you're welcome to click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, InvestTalk.com. Now let's get back to the podcast. You're listening to Invest Talk, answers to important questions. What's your talking point?
Variable annuity,
closed-end bond fund,
Roth IRA.
And I rolled my 401k over.
I'm looking at retirement in 6 to 9 months.
Get your question to us now at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach Invest Talk anytime.
Thanks for taking the call.
Hi, Steve. This is Vitaly from Atlanta, Georgia. I had a question about SUP, S as in Sam, U, urinary, P as in Paul. And I wanted to know if it's still a good time to invest. I'm currently invested into it. I'm down 10%. I'm wondering if it's a good growth stock or just a good stock to hold on to or maybe invest more into. So if you can just provide that feedback, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, Superior Industries International, SUP, out of Michigan, manufactures cast aluminum road wheels for original equipment manufacturers at facilities in the U.S. and Mexico. It is a small cap company, $392 million. So a small cap company has built-in risk. Smaller the company, the higher the risk, okay? So this is a fairly risky company, but on the other hand, its earnings and sales have been pretty consistent. Earnings have been picking up in the recent years, but they're a little bit erratic. They're going to make 96 cents this year per share, but last year they made $1.89. Then next year they're going to make $1.76. So, you know, it was a big fall this year, then a big recovery. It's a $15.75 stock. So at $1.76, if you gave it a 10 PE, that would be $17 stock. And its five-year range is 12 to 32. So it very rarely goes there. Sales the last two quarters have picked up dramatically, 32% and 39%. The two quarters before that, they fell, 3% and 6%. Remember, they make wheels for automobiles. So it's a cyclical stock attached to the economic cycle. I think it is probably a good price wherever it is. It bounced off about a little bit more than $14 a share twice this year. And is having trouble getting above 17, but the valuation is there, and we're not going into any recession or anything, so it's a pretty good value stock at this point. And I think value stocks are, that's going to be their turn next year to have a better, to outperform growth. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take off or anything. It's just that they should outperform growth. So this is one of those value plays. And I note that insiders have been buying around this price where it is. So kind of like it here. Just remember, it's small cap, so it's a higher risk, but it's been pretty darn steady. And remember that it is attached to the economic cycle. So if the economy falls, this will fall. SUP, It's a symbol, everybody. S-U-P. Let's go to Daniel in Orlando, Florida. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm just curious about Papa John's Pizza. I know it took a pretty big fall this year, and curious about your thoughts about getting in for a long-term position.
Okay. Papa John's, everybody, a pizza. I don't know if there's a lot of them around here, but I don't think I've ever had one. Are they good?
Really? You got to come down to Florida and try one, man.
No, they're here in the West Coast, too. I've seen them. I just don't think I've ever tried one.
I know.
One.
It's a lot of other priorities over it, but
yeah.
Obviously just curious about the company, you know, not necessarily the pizza.
Yeah, they have 5,097. They're also in the United States, and they're also in 45 other countries, so it's pretty good. They are a $2 billion company, which is still small, but trying to become mid-cap. It's pretty close on their... They're growing their sales 2 to 5% per quarter for a couple, 3 years in a row now. They're going to make $2.72 this year. That's 7% more than last year. And they're going to make $2.91 next year. Pretty darn solid company. It's a really good, solid company. And this is the price that you probably want to pick it up, Daniel. Right around here. It looks like it's been bottoming for all of December after falling since almost beginning of the year. So I think we're starting to see support come in here. Remember, they're going to make $2.91. It's a $57 stock. So it's not cheap, but as the low PE is of the last 5 years is 18. And right now that's what, 20, 21, 20? So I think this is a good place to buy it. I think this, if you're going to bid in, this is where you get in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the weekly chart, and I just see that moving average convergence divergence about to cross over, and
yeah.
I just, you know, for a longer term, I'm hoping it's good. So yeah. If you think it's good, I appreciate it.
I think there's a time. I mean, I could be totally wrong, Daniel, but from a
I understand. But a chart, a longer term view, you know, solid company might be worth a shot.
Yep, might be. I think it would be. Thanks, Daniel. Appreciate the call. PZZA was a symbol, everybody. Papa John's Pizza. PZZA. I kind of like that symbol. Pizza. Pretty nice. Anyways, retail sales came out today. This is for the month of November. The report came out today. It was up 0.8%. Now, when I tell you that, you probably need some context. Because is that good, bad? Well, that was twice the expectations. They expected to go up 0.4%. And if you took out automobiles, which is a very high ticket item and it kind of distorts retail sales, it was up 1%. That's not the greatest number, but that's very good. It's a very good number. Much better than expected. That's what's interesting. Black Friday, internet sales were up 2.5%, which was much better than they thought. And where do these sales concentrate from? Home centers, apparel retailers, sporting goods, and restaurants. Those were the drivers for the retail sales report. Remember, we are an economy driven by the consumer. 70% of our economy is consumer driven. Okay, it might be 67% or whatever, but just about 70% of our economy is driven by the consumer. So what they spend and their spending ability is very important for our economy. And they're spending. They're spending for the holidays, at least. At least that's the start they have. I mean, it might tail off, but it doesn't seem like it is. So I thought that was a pretty good report. And, you know, it certainly appears that the economy is getting stronger. Not weaker, stronger. What I find interesting is it's not really getting stronger on anything the government really has done. It's getting stronger on what people think the government's going to do. Remember, your expectations, anybody's expectations, over a broad base of a lot of people, the expectation is what drives. Not the actual what. If you expect the economy to do well, it will do well. If you expect inflation to increase, it will increase. Did you ever notice that? Been around long enough to tell you. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So Everybody expects the tax break to come in. Everybody expects that, so they react to it now. They've been reacting to it. That's what you see. And then it's like a virtuous cycle. Oh, then things look better. Oh, things look better. I expect more. Oh, that better, more better. You know, just kind of builds on itself. Same thing on the downside. Now, our free risk analysis tool not only evaluates and quantifies your risk tolerance. You know, I talk about it all the time, risk tolerance. Well, it also is a step in the direction of determining your current retirement portfolio. What should be the mix of stocks and bonds you should have in cash? Also, stock, bonds, cash, what should you have? What's the mix that you should have to feel comfortable? And to find that out, you got to figure out some kind of risk profile, your personal risk profile. We have a little fancy-dancy tool. It's free. You just go to investtalk.com, answer, three minutes worth of questions, very simple questions, and it gives you a score, a free risk analysis score. Check it out.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Ryan here in Texas. I had a quick question about a ETF for you. KMKNX. Wanted to see what your thoughts were, and it was maybe a little too late to get into this one. Thanks so much. Appreciate what you guys do. Have a great day.
Okay, I don't see that. KMKNX. Okay, that's five symbols, and a five symbol anything is not an ETF. Anything ending with an X and it has five symbols is a mutual fund, and this is not coming up. KMKNX. So, let me try something else. KMKNX. Okay, I do get a chart on it, but I don't get anything else. Let's see, what is it? It is a Kinetics Market Opportunities Fund. It's a fund. Okay, it's a mutual fund. It's not a stock. I can't really tell too much about it. All I can tell you is it's a mutual fund. I can tell you it's been up and really doing well. And therefore, it's really popped up since December from 22 to 27. And what is that, 25% in half a month? That tells you that it's you're chasing performance, and I would not buy this at this point. It's moved up too fast in a short period of time. I just don't know what a Kinetics Market Opportunities Fund does. I'd have to look it up. I wonder if I can get, I might be able to get a bit more information on it. Let's try there. Remember, all mutual funds have five digits, everybody. They end in X. So if you ever see that happen, and you want to know what that kind of thing that is, it's going to be a mutual fund. This, in Morningstar, I just opened up my software, so I talked enough to get my software up. In Morningstar, this is a three-star fund, which I kind of like three-star funds, just so you know. And it's 29% cash, 45% U.S. stocks, 14% non-U.S. stocks, and 11% other. Now, I that tells you that it's not all stock market focused. They have other kinds of, obviously they're going to have, different kinds of strategy. They say that it's the risk profile is has below average risk with better than average returns recently. So that's a good thing. So, I don't know. I'm not a big mutual fund investor, so I don't know if I would, myself, I probably wouldn't pick it. But I do like the fact that it's a three-star fund by Morningstar. And let's see. Total assets, very small, $73 million. That's a pretty small for a mutual fund. Expense ratio is kind of high, 1.64%. but it doesn't have much turnover, so they buy and kind of hold. Let's try another question from our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Stephanie from Phoenix, and I have an individual taxable account through TD that I have shares, several different stocks in that I plan on keeping long-term, 10 years plus. And one of them is NGG, Nancy Girl Girl. That's National Grid. And I have a very small position and would like to increase it, but I've noticed that it really hasn't broken support. It's around $59 and would like to know if this would be a decent time to buy or if I should hold out to see if it maybe breaks support a little further down, maybe around 55 or 54. This is for a long-term, very long-term hold. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Okay, this National Grid, NGG, British company engaged in gas, electric transmission, and distribution in the UK and US. They have very good earnings. They're going to make $3.96 next year. They made $3.94 last year. And the year after next, it's going to make $4.24 a share. So that's very good, and it's at the low end of its PE range. So this would, and it pays a 4.9% dividend. Okay, so it's a utility company. So the utility stocks haven't worked very good, but they are very steady. Their sales have actually been falling 4% the last couple of quarters. Before that, they were falling higher, and that's why the stock has been pretty weak. And you're right, it does have a lot of support between 56, 57. Right now, it's at 58.30. I would wait. I think you're going to get a little bit more weakness, but when you see it started to gain strength, that's when I'd be a buyer. Maybe when it breaks above its 20-day moving average, maybe you can use that as a signal to jump in and just stay in it because it's going to pay, it's a utility. It's going to pay the long-term, those yields, probably keep paying them for as long as they can. And, it, you know, utilities generally don't go out of business. It's a $40 billion company. It's big. So usually they're pretty steady eddies, especially about the dividends. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Only about 10 minutes separate us from the end of the show, by the way, just so you know. So if you have a question, you're invited to ask it right now. Reach me at 888-99-CHART. I'm curious, everybody, are you worried at all about the stock market, the economy? Do you feel like everybody is feeling great about what's happening in the world, the stock market, economy? We're talking about everything. No one's worried about inflation. No one's worried about jobs. Businesses are all upbeat. So there's virtually no risk that people are worried about. You can also see this on the volatility index in the in the stock market, the very low volatility index. It tells me that just everything is just rosy. Now, I don't want to say everything is not rosy. It is kind of rosy. It is. But there's some big concerns that no one is even paying attention to. How about North Korea? No one's really paying attention to that. I mean, we see it a little bit on the news, but it doesn't worry us at all. How about our concerns with trade with China? No one seems to worry about that, yet there seems to be a slow movement to be in confrontation with them. Okay, you're not worried about those things. How about the unwinding of loose money, the trend that's in that they're going to unwind loose money? That means the money's going to tighten. That means all that money that poured into the market is now going to start pouring out of the market. Slowly, but it is. The U.S., the EU, and Japan combined put $8.3 trillion into the system, propping up asset prices. Their economy has only grown over that same period of time, only about, $2-3 trillion. So that means there's an excess of, $5-6 trillion in the system. So what happens when you dry that up? No one's worried about it. No one's thinking about it. No one cares about it. Okay, how about this? the cap ratio, which is the PE ratio, CAPE, which is the long-term PE ratio, and I talked about that before, is sitting at 31.3%. That's 15% higher than it was in 2007. The cap ratio, which is the, what it does is it's the price of the market, current price of the market, and the 10-year average of earnings for the S&P 500. And you come up with a PE ratio. So the price-earnings ratio. So it's 15% higher than 2007. Why do I bring up 2007? Because that's the last peak. And it's much higher than that right now. Now, I will say this. During the dot-com era, it was like 40. But I also will tell you that every time, all the time since it's been computed over the years, anything over 30 has always signaled a retracement of some kind after that. Every time it gets above 30. Not just 1%, 2%. I'm talking about a strong retracement. I'm not being negative. I'm just trying to point out some of the things that no one's thinking about. No one cares. Let's try to answer one more question before the show's up. The hour's gone. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Really enjoy the show. Just want to get your take and see what you think of VRX. It's Valeant Pharmaceuticals. They had a big jump yesterday, and I just want to see if you think it's an okay time to get in. All right, thanks. Bye.
VRX, everybody. Valeant Pharmaceuticals. Develops branded drugs in areas of dermatology, neurology, eye health, and over-the-counter products. They have a lot of insiders buying. They've been buying for some time. They own about 6%. They're going to make $3.79 this year, but they made $5.21 last year and $8 the year before that per share. So only $3.79 this year and then $3.53 next year. So that's not good. I mean, the stock is $19, so it's way, way underpriced because of the direction of earnings and sales has been down for the last 2-3 years. No one likes that. No, investors don't like that. That's why the PE is so low. You know, they're going to make $3.53, and it's a $19 stock. It's five PE. But the low in there is 2. And it looks like it's now trying to make a comeback. But I would be very worried. You could put your toe in, but just be ready for a wild ride. Thanks for the call. Time to wrap it up today. A reminder, if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly offline, it's easy to give me a note. Send me an email. Go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve, and I promise I'll get back with you with an answer. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and the whole KPB family want to thank you for hooking up with us today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.